podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. If you're joining us for the first time, we are on a journey into Genesis, and we've come into a junction of Scripture that is a little bit tricky because it speaks of circumcision. How many of you know circumcision is not an easy topic, particularly on a Sunday morning? Now, there are a little less than 100 verses in the Bible pertaining to circumcision. And what we're about to see is the first time that circumcision is actually discussed in Scripture, which is pretty significant. But before we discuss the verses leading before, starting from verse 9 all the way down to verse 14, it's good for us to get a review of verses 1, chapter 17, verses 1, down to verse 8. You will remember that Abraham has changed his name to Abraham, and he's 99 years old, and 13 years have lapsed. And now he's in this place where he is settled, he's rich, he has a child, and God visits him and speaks to him and says, I am God Almighty. And this word El Shaddai, and God speaks to him and changes his name, consequently his identity. And God says, you're no longer going to be the exalted father. You will be the father of many nations. And we said last week that God's idea of who we are is far greater than our own concept of who we are. We see ourselves as Abraham, an exalted father. God sees us as the father of many nations and kings. We see ourselves as overcomers. Peter saw himself as a pebble, and God saw him as a rock. Because God's like that. And that's because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, as we progressed last week, we talked about the idea of clarifying the purpose, our destiny, and more than just our destiny, our calling, our day-to-day existence here on this earth. And finally, as the close of last week's verses, we saw the number of promises that God gave Abraham in light of the destiny and the calling that he has. Beginning in verse 2, he says, I will make my covenant between me and you. Down in verse 6, I will make you very fruitful. This is all the I wills, if you may. Six I wills in the verses from verses 1 to 8, where God is saying, I will fulfill my promises. And there's, I will make nations of you, and kings will come upon you, and many nations will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant for you. I will give an everlasting possession of this land to you and your descendants after you. And more than that, I will be their God. Six times God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. Which, as I explained to you in previous weeks, 100% of everything that happens to us is a consequence of God's love for us. What Jesus has done for us allows us to fulfill our destiny. So if it's 100% God, then what percent of life is us? Is it really 0%? Is it 90% God and 10% us? Is it 50% God and 50% us? I said to you a few weeks ago, it is 100% God and 100% us. God gives us everything, and consequently, as a result of that, because of his great love for us, we give him 100% of everything we are. We find ourselves, therefore, in 17, verse 9. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, in other words, you have a role and a participation in this covenant. Yes, I am the one who will give you all the promises, but you are not a robot. You will not just walk this out. There is a participation and a part of you to keep this covenant. And you and your descendants after you for generations to come need to know what this participation is all about. We find in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, a parallel to what happened here. Abraham was promised at 99 years old that he was going to have a child. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says, against all hope. If you find yourself in a hopeless situation, this is hopeless against hopeless. In other words, nothing could be more hopeless than this. And it says, against all hope, this is the participation of Abraham into the promises of God. God promised, I'm going to give you a child, and Abraham realizes this is hopeless. Why? Because I'm going to make you the father, and against all hope, He believed by hope. How do you do that? And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Notice in verse 19, without weakening in his faith. There's that hope and faith connection. If you want hope, you need faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. If we don't have faith and all we have is this hope that pushes us and catapults us out of our beds every day, that hope is on you. And that hope will not last very long because the substance of that hope is this faith that God is for me and not against me. And thus, I can hope. And so he was saying, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead. In other words, this body's dead. I'm 99 years old. Who in the world is going to produce a child at 99 years old? Faith is not trying to eradicate the truth. Faith is not merely just confessing this problem does not exist. Faith is actually facing the fact that I have a situation here, a bad situation. But despite that, because God promised it, then I can believe and have hope. Sometimes we think faith is removing the problems. No, that doesn't work that way. Faith is facing the problem and saying God is bigger than whatever that problem is. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was dead. This is hopeless. You know, you might have hope if you think that maybe I'm too old, but my wife produced it. But both of them were zero. He was impotent and she was barren. In other words, zero. There is no chance at all. Because he was fully persuaded, or the other translation says, fully convinced that God had the power to do what he had promised. And that was what God told him. I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God, the powerful God who will fulfill my promises to you. This is why it was credited to him as righteous. Have you ever wondered why the Bible uses the word it was credited to him? Because this is a covenant. It's a legally binding contract. In other words, God has to credit something because the contract has to be fulfilled. It is that one of the things we keep forgetting about God is a legal judge, and he will fulfill his promises. Back in chapter 17, verse 10, this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant that you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. This is the first time circumcision is actually mentioned. Tough for men, amen? The covenant that you are to keep, which brings us to the subject of circumcision. And I need to be clear up front with you. I'm not here to debate whether circumcision is physiologically necessary. The Bible actually says, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, in Christ, you are a new creation. That's not the point of this message. I'm not here to talk about cultural realities and the practices of circumcision, but the spiritual implication of what it means to have circumcision in this context is what we're discussing this morning. In fact, if you look at the number of verses that pertain to circumcision, it's not about physical circumcision. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the reference to circumcision is about the circumcision of the heart. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4 says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your what? In other words, all of a sudden now this applies to men and women. Amen? A while ago, this was a man's message, and some of the women were yawning. Now no more, because it removes the foreskin, that the flesh part of your heart, that part of your heart that wants to live the way you want to live. And this is what God was saying to Abraham. If you want to walk in this covenant, you're going to have to believe by faith, I will do this. And the other side of that is there's things in your flesh that need to go. You can't have that. Because that's not how I meant you to be, and that's not how I meant your generations to be, and that's not the quality of people that I've designed you to be. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. There's that thing again. It's the heart that's being circumcised. There's something about our hearts that's fleshly. The flesh means the part of us that is stubborn, it says. No longer be stubborn, insisting my way. That's me, folks. That's most of my life. Thank God I got born again at the age of 27. And now at 61, I've lived more than half of my life dying to myself, constantly circumcising my heart. Because that's all of us. There's that side of us that's been, and if you talk about being stubborn, my mother, who just celebrated her 87-year-old and is still alive, can testify how stubborn I am. It was her birthday last Saturday, and I thank God for people who've prayed for me. But that's you and me. There's areas in our life, and we wonder, why isn't God fulfilling all the promises? Because there's parts of us that are still in the flesh. There's parts of Abraham that are still capable of producing Ishmaels. There's parts of us that are still not quite where it should be and need circumcision. These are Old Testament verses. These are not New Testament verses. They're actually referenced further in Romans chapter 2 in the New Testament. Person is not a Jew, is only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. Person who's not a Jew is not just physical. In other words, it's something that's inward. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart. It's the heart, the part of you that in fact, the implication of this is when you circumcise your private part, no one sees that, and in a very real sense, that's the same with your heart. You can stand up here and preach all day long, and you can say all the nice stories, but God sees your heart. And that's between you and Him. That's why He said it's between you and me. It's a cutting off of the flesh. That's what circumcision is. Last week, I talked to you about purpose and destiny and calling. And often, you find friends and relatives and co-workers, and you wonder why it's not happening for them. And then you kind of meet them and get deeper, and you realize some of the parts of the flesh are still there. And they're not willing to circumcise the heart. And sometimes we just want to come to church and hear, God's going to bless me, God's going to promise without wavering in unbelief. No, there is a part of that that we're supposed to participate in by faith, but there's a part that in faith, therefore, I'm willing to cut my heart and that fleshly part away. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, says there's good soil that produces abundant fruit, but there's rocky soil where the roots grow fast, but the hardships and the pressures of life and the sun burns it out and it's dead. You've met people like that who once were so eager to serve God, went to the Bible study, read their Bibles, and the next thing you know, they're gone. Why? Heart's not been circumcised. Then you've got the guys who are in the thorns and the pressures and the persecution. I'm sorry, this is the other way around, isn't it? Pastor's in the front row. It's the other way around. The thorns are the troubles and the pressures of life. But the point is, Jesus did say there will be hard times. There will be trying times. And there is that part of us that needs to go. Matthew 16, verse 24 says that Jesus told us, if anyone could come after me, do you really want to follow Jesus? And all we're following is to be blessed, to be prosperous, to have no problems. It doesn't say that. It says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The trajectory of your life and mine will change dramatically when we decide to circumcise our hearts. The direction of your life, your destiny, your calling, the way your life's going to play out, and I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, circumcise your heart. Because the direction, how your calling and your destiny is going to be fulfilled, is dependent on how you circumcise parts of the flesh out of you and get rid of it. Back to Genesis 17, verse 11, you are to undergo circumcision. There is that word again. And it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Now, he goes from just participating, where he says, now you're going to do this thing. You're going to do this on yourself. You're going to undergo it. And it will be a sign. This is a different kind of sign. Typically, signs are kind of like things that warn you or alert you. This was a private sign, but more than a private sign, this was a permanent sign. There was no turning back. You know, there are certain signs you put up there, a rainbow, tomorrow it might not be there. There are certain signs you put up there, it might be a warning sign, and somehow they fixed the road and the warning sign's gone. This is not one of those signs. This is a permanent sign that's not disappearing. And there is a permanence to your relationship with God. There's a permanence to our relationship with our marriages. There's a permanence that life gives us. And today, the attitude of people is no longer that. We go where we want to go. We treat the things of God as if they were a mobile provider. Amen? I'm just going to go who gives me the better offer, who gives me points, who gives me free meals and free coffee. Are you following? And we think that just because that's the way the world lives, this is the way in church. And we make a fatal mistake, that it doesn't work that way. God expects permanence. And he wants this circumcision as a private sign to you and to him that I'm cutting off the flesh, but I'm staying. I got married at the age of 25. In 1982, my wife was 23, I was 25. 1982, the next year, in 1983, in my nation of the Philippines, Ninoy Aquino, who was now named after the airport, was shot. And all hell broke loose in our economy. Dollar values went from 40% less. We were poorer, I was poorer, 30%. The bad news was I was a businessman, which means I still had to keep paying salaries. This picture was taken in 1986, and by 1986, I had a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a baby. How many of you know that's not easy? It's bad enough even if you have money, amen? To have these three, and you're just about bankrupt now. In the history of my nation, from 1986 to 1991, there was a coup, sometimes 3 times a year. It means people were leaving my country. People who had a lot of cash were buying real estate for bargains. People like me who have lost a lot of money were just drowning. I probably got my reflux that I still have every now and then from these days. It's a permanent mark. A permanent mark. I remember one day when the bankers sent the sheriffs to my home. It was my son's birthday, and we were having a very small birthday party. And the car parked, and I was being called out, and I walked out, and these men were saying, we're going to have to repossess all your things. In the middle of guests. I don't know if you understand what stress looks like. Some of you think you know what stress looks like. When you think your country's going to implode and everything's being taken away from you and your children are that big, it is stressful. For days, weeks, months, years, this went on from 1996 to 1992, the Cory Aquino administration. I kept listening to a CD called Joseph the Dreamer. And the reason why I'm telling you this story is because I was just listening to the song 2 days ago. I actually had to pause the song. It came out of my playlist, and I had to go to my living room and just kneel down and remember. A cut heart. A heart that says, God, it's okay. It's okay to lose everything. It's okay to have nothing as long as I have you. And some of you, you need to get there. Not that I wish what happened to me to happen to you, but you need to get to the place where there's a private part of you that's tender and soft and cut, that's marked, that says, this is for God. Trajectory of your life is towards the things of God. Genesis 17, verse 12, for the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 years old must be circumcised. In other words, this idea is, it's not just for you, it's a permanent mark that would mark your grandchildren, your children, and your grandchildren. And you know what, I put out an Instagram post about my mother, and I said, my mother taught us how to say thank you, how to be grateful to God, how to be grateful to people, how to serve. And you know what, most of it, she never told us. She just did it. Because when your heart is circumcised towards God, you don't have to teach a lot. You just walk that way and your kids will see it and they'll just follow you. But you can teach all day long. If that's not in your heart, they're not passing this down to the generations. And it's interesting how this says, when the 8 days, and some people take this verse and they discuss about vitamin K that's available at certain days. Forget that. What this verse is saying in the spirit is, pass this on to the next generation while they're young. Pass this spirit that says, God, I have a participation and a part in this. And there's a permanent side of me that has been marked for you. Any circumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken covenant. He's talking about this uncircumcised, who has not been circumcised in the flesh, will be cut off. And here's why I love God, the Bible. There is a place where God commands you and says you need to do this. But there's always this place where any male who wants to turn away is free to do so. In other words, no one's forcing you to do this. Because it's not just that you have to participate. It's not just that it is permanent. At the end of the day, it's personal. We'll all be in the same church, and some of us will have a cut heart, and some of us will not. It's a private, personal decision you're going to have to make. Your wife's not going to make that for you. Your father and mother's not going to make that for you. Your pastor's not going to make that for you. You're making that yourself. And that is something that God will see as a permanent mark in your heart, whether it's there or not. As I close, I'm reminded of the Salisbury Cathedral in England. It's a beautiful cathedral. It's a masterpiece. Never been there, but when you examine the pictures, they're quite amazing. And the pictures of the cathedral at night or in the morning are stunning. A few years ago, there was a book written about this cathedral and the renovations that went into these medieval cathedrals. This in particular, they started to renovate the inside of the cathedral. And when they were renovating the inside of the cathedral, it was interesting because certain parts of the cathedral were so ornate that they had to be very careful in dismantling some of the tiles before they could restore them and put them back in place. As they were dismantling these tiles, they noticed the intricacy and the beauty of the tiles behind where no one could see was far more intricate and beautiful than the ones that people could see. It was only then that they realized that the builders of these cathedrals were more concerned about what God was seeing. There's a side of you and me that's going to be public. We're not going to get away from that. Probably one of the toughest roles of a pastor is that, is I always think, God, my life's so public. But there would always be a space for you, for me, for all of us, that's going to be personal. That's what a circumcision is. It's a sign that you have to participate in. It's a sign that's permanent. But it's a sign that nobody sees. But you and God. And that's the heart that God wanted to have for Abraham. Abraham, if you want to be blessed beyond any measure, in ways that I want you to be blessed, you need to learn to have a circumcised heart. A heart that participates in this covenant. A heart that knows the permanence of this covenant and a heart that knows that this is a personal relationship between you and me. Let's bow our heads as we close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. In fact, why don't you all stand up? Let's just all stand up right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you look up here for a minute? You know, the amazing thing about God is when you take it to an extreme where it's just faith, 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 it doesn't work. It becomes works, 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 works. It doesn't work. It's always that verse in Proverbs which says, grasp one and not let go of the other. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes. When you have that two sides of life, it becomes stable. It's not about being rigid. It's about being stable. When the devil knocks you out and tells you how wicked you are, you go and say, no, God has forgiven me. When times get harder and harder, no, 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 God's going to take care of me. And when you become affluent and rich like Abraham, no, no, I've got to circumcise this heart. Certain parts have to die. It's kind of like an airplane, isn't it? When you fly through winds and times are good, like an eagle that soars on wings that never gets tired, never loses energy. You know why you're stressed? You're doing it in the flesh. And the flesh has no power, and you're burning the flesh. When you're in the spirit, it's different. They that wait on the Lord, not say wait for the Lord. The Lord's never late. You wait for those who are late. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord, they that trust Him, will mount on wings like eagles. You don't seen an eagle? Fly so high and yet so effortlessly. He's being lifted up on his wings by the power of God, the spirit, the air. That's where God wants you to be. Amen? Father, thank you for this morning. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. God, I'm asking you that you would cause us. If that's your heart today, Lord, circumcise my heart. Would you just lift up both your hands towards Him this morning? God, circumcise my heart. And if you're not born again, this is the moment to just come to Him and say, Lord, I want this life. A life that's faith is in nothing and no one but you. Jesus, we love you. Seal this truth in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.